We're going to the Word of the Lord. We're going to Joel chapter 2, and then from there to Romans chapter 13. Joel chapter 2, and then to Romans chapter 13. I believe that the song that Sister Anna just sang was just confirmation of the Word of the Lord this morning. Praise God. Joel chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 1, and then we will skip down into the chapter. Joel was writing as he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Verse 1 of chapter 2, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Amen. Verse 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. That the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? If you will just hold your place there, because we will be ministering from Joel chapter 2 in a little while. Romans 13, beginning at verse 11. And that knowing the time, would you say knowing the time? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that knowing the time. Amen. Somebody say, knowing the time. The Lord help me tonight, or today, I'm going to minister on those words. Knowing the time. The song that Sister Anna sang, he's an on-time God. Amen. Aren't you glad he's never late? That's right. He's never too late. Praise God. Would you lift your hands with me and let's ask the Lord to walk and talk in this house. God, we love you today. We thank you, holy and wonderful God, for your good spirit that's been in this place throughout this service. We thank you for what you have done, for pouring out the Holy Ghost. We ask you now to talk to us and to have your way among us in Jesus' name, your holy name, we pray. And everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. And that knowing the time, the word knowing in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. The word knowing means telling the time, to be aware and to perceive the time. Amen. There were two old men sitting on the porch, and one of them looked at the other one and said, "Hey, man, I got me a new watch." And the other one said, "Well, let me look at it." And so he put his arm out there and looked at it and pulled his arm back. And the guy said, "What time is it?" So the guy with the new watch just looked at his watch and studied it a few moments and just didn't say anything for a few moments, just sat there and looked at it. And directly he said, "Here it is." And the guy looked at it and he said, "It sure is." Amen. Neither one of them could tell time. But he was wearing the watch, but couldn't tell time. Amen. He had the watch, but he couldn't tell the time. He had the watch, but yet he was not aware of what time it was. He had the watch, but because he did not have understanding, he was not able to perceive the time. Amen. Just having the watch, just having the clock, just having the Spirit of the Lord in our midst is not enough. Amen. We must be able to tell the time. We must be able to be aware of the time and to perceive what time it is. Whenever the great writer, the apostle, wrote the words, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time." Would you say it's high time? It is high time to awake out of sleep. Now, if we look at what the apostle has just written, and we really began to take a real good look at it, it really doesn't make much sense when you read it and you think about it. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Amen. To awake out of sleep. The writer is talking about sleep, the need to awaken from sleep. But he said, and that knowing the time. I want to ask you a question. How many of you know what time it is when you're sleeping? Is there anybody here that knows what time it is while you are sleeping? Amen. No one is raising their hands, because the truth is, none of us know what time it is while we are sleeping. Amen. And so we must do something that will help us to know what time it is while we are sleeping. And that is to set an alarm. Amen. The only way we can know what time it is, oh yes, the only thing that can make us aware of the time while we are sleeping is to set an alarm. To set an alarm. I know people who do not have to set a clock. They do not have to make sure that the alarm on a clock is set. They just simply have awakened at the same time every morning until they are able to do so. It just comes naturally. They are conditioned to awaken at a certain time every morning. Amen. That is good. That is really good. But what if something takes place before they awaken at their regular time? What if there is an emergency? What if someone has a need? Amen. And they have not set an alarm. They're going to awaken at the same time that they have awakened time and time and time again. Friend, we cannot depend upon what we have done out of habit. Amen. We cannot depend on what we have done day in and day out for some period of time. When it comes to spiritual things, amen, we cannot just go through the motions. We cannot just, amen, do as we do all the time. We must set alarms in our spiritual life, amen, so that we can know the time. Oh yes, what are you preaching about, Brother Wilson? Well, in the first part of this message, I am saying it is a dangerous thing, amen, to just come to church. Oh yes, it's a dangerous thing to just go through the motions, amen, to just go through the same old ritual, service after service, day in and day out. Amen. We need an alarm system within our spirit. Amen. That will wake us. That will wake us. Oh yes, when trouble comes our way, we need an alarm system in our spirit that will awaken us when the devil tries to sneak in like a thief in the night. We need an alarm system in the Holy Ghost that will awaken us when the old enemy tries to come into the window of our life in the middle of our spiritual night. Amen. We need to set an alarm. There needs to be something that triggers in our spirit that says, get up, wake up. There's danger coming. Amen. There's a lurking spirit. There's something that has come into your life to try to destroy you. Dear Holy God, our alarm needs to be set. Amen. Set an alarm. Somebody say, I'm going to set an alarm. I'm going to set an alarm. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Having been raised in the church and having had the Holy Ghost a little over 48 years now, I remember hearing conversations that I don't hear anymore. Amen. I remember hearing statements from people of God that I very seldom ever hear anymore. Amen. And I remember hearing saints of God speak with concern because they haven't broken through in prayer in a while. Amen. They haven't broken through into victory in a while. And there was an alarm system in them that triggered, amen, a serious feeling. Oh yes, began to warn them, something's up. Something's not right. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, when people when people reach those places where they haven't broken through and they haven't gained victory and they haven't seen a move of God in their personal life. Oh yes, nowadays they begin to feel or to think that they are backslidden. Or they began to think, hey man, that this is just normal. Oh yes, that is just human. But the truth is, God wants there to be an alarm system in our spirit that when we go a few days without breaking through and talking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, amen, that it will trigger something in our spirit, an alarm in our spirit that will tell us, I need to find a place in prayer. I need to spend some days in fasting. I need to go down to the church house in the middle of the day or late in the night. Amen. I need to get along with God and find out what's going on in my spirit, in my life. Amen. This is an alarm that God desires to give to us. Amen. This kind of preaching is not understood just anywhere. Amen. People sit and stare with blank looks, not understanding what the preacher is talking about. I'll tell you why. It's because there's not an alarm. Amen. There's not an alarm system in their life. I've also come to tell you tonight, amen, the thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. There's a robber on the loose. Amen. There's an enemy of our soul that's wanting to come in and to destroy everything godly and everything spiritual and everything holy and everything wholesome in our life. Amen. But there's some saints of God who are setting alarms today that says, God, let my alarm system go off. Let something begin to stir in my spirit. Let something begin to happen. Let something shake me. Let something wake me. Let something cause me to have to get up. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And that knowing the time. Amen. The only way, the only way to know the time is to set an alarm. Praise God, to set an alarm. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Would you say sleep? The word sleep here means spiritual torpor. And the word torpor from Webster's dictionary means a state of physical or mental inactivity. It is lethargy. Lethargy is a lack of energy. Lethargy is a lack of enthusiasm. Lethargy is a pathological state of sleepiness or deep unresponsiveness and a state of inactivity. I'm speaking spiritually now. Amen. The Bible tells us that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Amen. Darkness has a way of working on our mental state. Amen. How many of you noticed that when the time changed and it began to get dark earlier, that it would have been pretty easy just to go ahead and go on to bed, even though it was only 8 o'clock at night? Amen. Why? Because there's something in us. Oh yes, that when darkness begins to cover the earth, we automatically began to feel a state of sleepiness coming on us. Oh yes, we are living in a very dark hour. Oh yes, darkness is not coming upon our earth. Darkness has been upon our earth for long enough that now we are in gross darkness. Amen. Deep darkness. We are in darkness where there is little or no light. And because of this, we are affected spiritually. That is why, Pastor, that we are fighting things that we once very seldom fought before. There is a state of sleep and sleepiness that has come upon many people. It is a spiritual torpor, amen, that has caused people to reach a state of spiritual inactivity, a spirit of lethargy, amen. There is a lack of energy to put forth, to live for God, and to do the things of God. Amen. More and more pastors are having trouble causing people to become enthused about church and about revival and about prayer meeting. There is a lack of enthusiasm that is upon many people. Oh yes. Oh yes. It is a state of spiritual sleepiness. That is why in so many places preachers preach until they're red in the face and they're soaking wet and they are exhausted beyond measure. Amen. Because there is a lack of response spiritually to the word of the Lord. People can sit and sleep while the preacher is preaching. And then people can enter into a state of spiritual sleepiness while the man of God is pouring out his heart. And while he's trying to get somebody's attention. And while he's trying to have a move of God. It's time for somebody to set an alarm. It's time for somebody to say, it's time for me to wake up and shake myself. It's time for somebody to say, God is trying to wake me, and God is trying to help me, and God is trying to pull me from my sleep and my slumber. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. When we're closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. We're almost there. It's time to awake. It's time to awake. It's time to get up. It's time to shake ourselves. It's time to come out of our spiritual sleepiness. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's why your pastor preaches with fervency. That's why he calls evangelists in. He's setting an alarm. Amen. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like my alarm clock. And I have just recently, I woke up late, real late, and was almost late for church, which is very unusual for me. I don't even remember turning the alarm off. Amen. I remember setting it, but I don't remember turning it off. When it went off, I must have just reached out, and instead of hitting the snooze button, I must have turned it off. Because I have become so accustomed. I know just how long my snooze works. Some of you are grinning because you do. You know just how long yours works. Amen. And I have become so accustomed. Most of the time, I'm just going to be honest with you today, okay? Most of the time, I set my clock where I can have enough time to hit my snooze button twice and still be safe. Some people spiritually have learned how to set the snooze button and still be safe. Amen. But they don't realize they're turning it off. And they're sleeping beyond the time of safety. And that's where we are as a church. The Lord has dealt with me on this subject for quite some time now. Amen. So many churches are asleep. Now, just because we shout and just because we dance and just because we get happy doesn't mean we're awake. Amen. We can sleepwalk. And we can sleep praise. And we can sleep worship. And we can sleep pray. Amen. Now, this is part of revival. Praise God. That's right. This is part of revival. Oh, yes. Just bear with me. We're going somewhere. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Help us today. Would you say, help us today, God? It's so easy to reach that place where we can actually ignore the alarm. Have you ever been asleep, just sort of halfway in and halfway out, and you could hear your alarm going off? But yet you were still able to sleep. Sort of a semi-sleep, in and out of consciousness. Oh, Jesus. That happens spiritually. I hope it's not happening to anybody today. The word of God coming to you today is an alarm going off. Oh, Jesus, it's an alarm going off. And it's easy to just let the preaching drift off in the distance somewhere. Help us, God. Amen. It's easy to just sort of close in and roll over and pull the comforter up around our neck and bury our head deeper into our spiritual pillow. Oh, yes. And if we have to, we can take the pillow and put it over our head to try to block out the sound of the alarm. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody today. God is trying to wake you up. Amen. God is trying to wake you up. Amen. Oh, we read that scripture and it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation. Say, our salvation. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And we have used the scripture, and rightfully so, to say that the coming of the Lord is nearer than when we believed. Amen. But this word salvation, it also means, it means to save. Amen. There's some things that God wants to save us from. He wants to save us from doubt. He wants to save us from unbelief. He wants to save us from sin. He wants to save us from shortcomings. He wants to save us from weakness. He wants to save us from depressions. He wants to save us, amen, from inactivity. Amen. There's an alarm going off today because God said, I want to save you out of something. I want to save you out of the grip of hell. I want to save you from the destruction of Satan. Praise God. Praise God. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Would you say the day is at hand? Amen. The night is far spent. We have pretty much spent this night. want to say that again. We have pretty much spent this night. I believe that God is talking to the church in this hour. Amen. That we have spent the night. Oh, yes. The Lord is doing some things that I have been concerned about. And I have prayed about for years. And one of these things is, for a long time, I have been concerned, and I have heard people who have been around the church a long time, saints of God and the ministry, make this statement. It just doesn't seem like there is a spirit of conviction like we used to feel years ago. Amen. Now, I'm kind of dating myself right here because you don't hear this kind of preaching from a lot of the younger men. It's because so many of them don't have an idea of what I'm talking about. Amen. But I'm talking about, you know, we've lived in a time when they have soothed people's consciences with grace and mercy. Grace and mercy, and every song, every new song is about mercy and it's about grace, and now people are taking mercy and grace, and to them it does what the blood does. The mercy and grace cannot do the work of the blood. Amen. Mercy and grace does not wash away sins. It forgives it, and it gives people a grace period and a time, amen, to repent. Oh yes, but there's only one thing that can wash away sins, and it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and the blood is only applied through repentance and baptism. Amen. The blood is not applied through mercy and grace. It's applied through repentance and baptism. But we're not hearing much preaching, and we're not hearing much singing and new songs about repentance and washing, repentance and cleansing. It's all about come as you are. God loves you just like you are. And it's given people the wrong impression. Amen. That God is okaying their sin, and God is just winking at their sin, and God is just overlooking their sin, and it is a false grace. It is a perverted grace. Amen. Oh yes, there's only one thing that can cover sin. There's only one thing that can wash away sin, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's only one way that it is applied, and it is through repentance, and it is through cleansing. Us. Amen. But there is a spiritual torpor. There is a spiritual inactivity. There is a spiritual lack of enthusiasm. There is a spiritual sleepiness that's come upon people. Amen. And what it's done, it's caused them to be, it's desensitized them. Amen. From the power of conviction. From the power. I remember a time when the spirit of conviction would move so strong in a service that people who didn't want to pray, people who didn't want to get right, amen, would begin to tremble under the spirit of conviction. They would grip the back of the pews until their knuckles turn white. I've seen their knees buckle and them fall to the floor, weeping and crying out to God for mercy because of the spirit of conviction. I've been praying, God, renew it. God, give it back to us. It's part of our salvation. It's part of our salvation. Amen. Amen. And several months ago, in prayer and seeking God and trying to get close and trying to hear from him, I heard from him, Brother Pastor Wirtz, I heard from him. And the Lord said, I am about to renew the spirit of conviction in my church. He said it's not going to happen just everywhere. It's not going to happen where it's not wanted. And it's not going to happen where people don't believe in it. It's not going to happen where people feel like it's a bad thing. When people begin to feel sorry for their sin. Friend, it's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. When a person can feel sorrow for the life that they're living. Amen. Sorrow will lead a person to repentance. You need to thank God that you feel bad when you sin. You need to thank God that your heart feels heavy when you do something. Amen. That is an alarm. That is an alarm that's going off in your spirit. Because if you did not feel that, you would continue in your sin. And you would stand before God. Because the Bible said some men's sin goes before them to judgment. Others follow after. I want to feel conviction. I want to feel sorry. Amen. And it lead me to repentance so that I can send my sins on ahead. Because I don't want to stand before God and God look up and say, "What's that coming behind you?" Amen. We need to send it to the judge today. Amen. And let him judge it today. My Lord, I don't want it to be that I am judged after or during the judgment seat of Christ. Praise God. I hope I'm making sense today. Oh, yes. And the Lord let me know that he was going to renew conviction in his church. He said in the church that has not gone the direction of the world. In the church, oh my, that has not tried to blend with other religion. In the church, amen, that still stands for the old path. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say I'm standing in the old path. Amen. Because the Bible said it's the good way. It doesn't matter how they mock it and how they laugh at it and how they make fun of it and how they sneer. I'm talking about even Pentecostals. It doesn't matter the little comments and the little innuendos. You know what? That doesn't bother me whatsoever. Amen. Because I'm seeking the old path. Amen. And the spirit of conviction is old path. Amen. But it'll turn a person from, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. It'll turn a person from their sin because it is an alarm. The Holy Ghost has spoken to me and said, "I'm about to set an alarm called conviction in my church again." Praise God. I'm feeling that spirit here this morning. Amen. I said, I'm feeling that spirit here this morning. Thank God for what we're feeling. Thank God I'm not in a church preaching this and everybody just looking at me saying, "We don't want that. We don't need that." But there's a hunger in this church that says, "God, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. It's time to wake up the sinner. It's time to wake up the backslider. It's time to wake up the cold, the carnal, and even the lukewarm saint. It's time to wake us up, God. It's time to wake us up." Amen. Praise God. Amen. A few weeks ago, or a couple months or so ago, I was in a service and preaching, and I felt that old familiar spirit of conviction come into the house. People began to tremble. Pastor Worth, they began to cry. And they began to come out of the pews and to the altar. Not because the preacher begged them. Not because we just kept preaching until something happened. And not because a song, amen, lured them. Amen. Not, oh my. Amen. Not, oh my. Not because somebody else was doing it, but because there was an alarm going off and they were hearing an alarm and they were saying, "I got to get up from here. I got to shake myself. I got to get down there to that altar. I've got to repent. I've got to let God do something in my life. I've got to let God wake me up and set me on my way." Praise God. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were in a what they call a youth weekend in Louisiana, and I wasn't one of the ministers preaching. I was sitting out in the congregation. There's probably a couple thousand people there, and I was sitting out in the congregation. And the church that was sponsoring, that was putting on the youth weekend, they did it was a long skit. I guess it could be called a play. And at the end of it, there was a very scary scene. Amen, a scary scene. And a scene of a young lady who had walked out on God and now she was lost, and for a second or two, I felt fear. It was a scary scene, and I'm telling you, suddenly it changed, and I thought, no, now this is not fear. This is old time conviction. Oh, God. Amen. You see, because fear has entertained people. Fear has entertained people for years. Hollywood has desensitized people. Amen. About God and about judgment and about hell. Amen. It has desensitized people about religion and about the ministry. Oh yes. And even about Satan himself. Amen. And so now scare tactics don't work like they used to work. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, and suddenly I feel this strong spirit of conviction hit that house. And the church that I was preaching revival in, I was there with them, and their young people were sitting around me here, and I looked in front of me, and there was a couple of young ladies, amen, in that church who were hard in their heart. Amen. They had rejected preaching time and time again, but I saw the look on their face when the spirit of conviction began to touch them, and they began to break down and began to weep. Amen. They were not looking around afraid and fearful, but they were feeling the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Before that service was over, there were young people receiving the Holy Ghost all over that auditorium. I'm here to tell you, we need that alarm. We need that alarm. And God is resetting. Amen. God is resetting the alarm called conviction in this last hour. I say, God, I want to buy into that. I want that alarm in my ministry. I want that alarm in my life. I want that alarm in this church. I said, I want that alarm in this church. I want that alarm in this revival. Amen. Anybody else want that alarm? The alarm called conviction. No. Praise God. I'm trying to hurry. Amen. Amen. Back to Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. He didn't say, blow ye the trumpet among the heathen. He didn't say, blow ye the trumpet among the sinner. But he said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Zion is his church. That's where the alarm needs to be. It needs to be in the church. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of gloom. I'm not going to read all this, but I do want to read a portion here. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain. And the prophet begins to speak of what was going to happen in that darkness. What was going to happen. Amen. The reason why the church, the people of God, needed to wake up. Amen. Destructive forces. Amen. We will all admit, if we are honest today, there are destructive forces at work in our world, in our government, amen, in our system, school systems. There are destructive forces at work that are attacking our families, that are attacking, amen, homes, that are attacking our churches. Amen. That's why we need to wake up. That's why we need the alarm. That's why God sent this message today. Amen. It's time to quit going through the motions. It's time to quit sleepwalking. Amen. It's time. My. Amen. Oh, why? Because of the destructive forces. But that's not the only reason why. Amen. That's not the only reason why. Amen. Verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart. That means repent. And not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Amen. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion. Amen. Everybody wake up. Amen. Began to fast. Began to gather together. Call a solemn assembly. It's time to gather the people. Amen. It's time for the church to get together. If there's any disunity, it needs to be cast out of the church. If there's any division, it doesn't have any place in the church. Amen. The only way this church is going to see the will of God is for there to be unity in the church. Let me tell you, I feel like preaching right here. And then we're living in an hour when Satan takes tiny things. He takes a word, a look. He takes a conversation. Amen. And he blows it all out of proportion. If he thinks that it can cause division and strife in the church, there is no place for that in the church. There is no place for that in the church. We need the unity of the saints of God if we are going to see the move of God that God wants to do in our midst. Oh, God have mercy. Amen. So many petty things. Oh yeah, we're living in a time when people, and it's even crept into the church, if it doesn't go their way, then there's trouble. Oh yes, Satan is so slick, sly. He can slip a wedge between a sister and a sister, a brother and a brother, a family and a family. Oh yes, and sometimes it doesn't amount to much at all. There's a spirit that causes, listen to me, there's a spirit that causes people to almost, it almost seems to, it makes them feel good to have aught against somebody, to not forgive. They feel like they're really doing something if they just keep it rolling, if they just keep it going, if they refuse to forgive. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Sound the alarm. God's saying there's a lot of destructive forces at work. But if my people will turn to me, if my people, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, if my people will repent, if my people will weep before me, if my people will gather together, if my people will sound alarms, if my people will pray, if they will fast. Oh yes, it's for the elders. And it's for the children. It's all right here, verse 16. It's even for the babes in Christ. Amen. Amen. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Oh, Jesus. Why? Why? Because this will cause God, verse 18, to be jealous for his land and pity his people. Why is there an alarm going off today? And I'm bringing this to a close. Would you stand? Musicians, come please. Why is God sending an alarm into his church? It's because not only, Pastor, is God trying to wake us up out of inactivity and lethargy. Not only is God trying to wake us up so that we are ready against the attacks of the enemy that comes in to destroy, but God is trying to wake us up because he is saying, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. Amen. Why is God trying to wake us up? It's because he's wanting to give us substance. He's wanting to give us corn, nourishment. He's wanting to give us wine, Holy Ghost. He's wanting to give us oil, the anointing. Amen. If we're asleep, God can't give us these things. Amen. Oh, yes. Isn't it good to know that God wants to wake us up, amen, to bring us out of our sins and our shortcomings and what we're doing wrong, but he's also wanting to wake us up so that he can give us good things? Hallelujah. That he can do wondrous things in our midst. He's trying to wake us up that we are no more a reproach among the heathen. Amen. Pastor said this morning, amen, he said we're tired of praying for people and them not getting healed. Amen. Oh yes, why are we tired? Because we are the people who believe in the healing virtue. We are people who believe in signs and wonders. Wonders and miracles. And God is saying, I want to wake you up so that the world will see what I'm doing in your midst, and the world will know that you are my people and that you are not a reproach. Praise God Almighty. Amen, amen. And Pastor, I will tell you that God is, he is restoring. He is restoring conviction to the church. But he's also restoring healing and signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. A few months ago, and I've seen several things happen in the last couple of years. But a few months ago, I was preaching revival in Buford, Georgia. We started on Sunday, I believe. The next morning, Pastor Copeland said, he said, I want you to go with me to the hospital. He said, one of our converts said he's been around the church for several years, and he's been taught Bible studies, several Bible studies, but just a little while ago, he prayed through and I baptized him in Jesus' name. He's one of our new converts. Amen. He said he's in the hospital. He's not doing good. He said, I'd like for you to go to the hospital. We got to the hospital. And we inquired where family was. And they said they've taken them in that little room right there. And we went in. And Pastor Worst, they were weeping. They were broken. Because the doctor had just come in and said, there's nothing we can do. And while we were in that room, the chaplain came in and he told the family, he said, I know this is so hard, and he was so kind. He said, but you're going to need to make the decision when you're going to take him off the life support. And oh, the grief, the pain in that. was looking into the eyes of that family. My heart was breaking for them. I didn't even know these people. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. And then the chaplain said, we're going to take you up to the ICU and let you look at him and spend a few minutes there. And there were several of us that went up, and we got to the into the ICU, and they made everybody suit up. And I didn't, and Pastor Copeland said, come on, suit up, go in there with us. I said, no, there's several of you. I think I'm just going to stay out here. They were in there just a few moments. Of course, we prayed. We prayed in that little room downstairs. We prayed. Not a great, overwhelming prayer. Not a loud prayer. Not a boisterous prayer. Just a simple prayer. I'm standing outside the ICU, and suddenly I felt this something come over me. I felt a compelling spirit get on me. Something started telling me, get in there, get in there, get in that unit, get in that unit. So I grabbed a suit and began to suit up real quick, and I stepped inside the doors of the ICU just in time to hear the head nurse say, there's some activity. She said, we're not going to take him off the life support just yet. Whew. That was on Monday. On Friday, he was in a private room, setting up and eating. Praise God. Amen. That we're going to send him home in a couple of days. I'm telling you, God is still working in this hour. And God is saying, if my church will set an alarm, and my church will wake up, and my church will do what I'm calling you to do. Amen. I'm going to send oil. I'm going to send wine. I'm going to send corn. Amen. I'm going to take away the reproach. I'm going to remove far away from you the armies that have laid you barren. Amen. And desolate. Amen. Oh, yes, I'm going to say, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Amen. Be not afraid. Praise God. Be not afraid. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree is going to bear her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine are going to yield strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. Amen. The great armies which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty, and you shall be satisfied, and you shall praise the name of the Lord your God, who is dealing wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision, and upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. I'm here to tell you, God is saying, wake up, I want to give you revival. Wake up, I want to save your husbands. Wake up, I want to save your husbands and your wives. Wake up, I want to save your children. Wake up, I want to save this neighborhood. It's time for the Holy Ghost to shake this neighborhood. I feel it. It's time for the Holy Ghost to shake this neighborhood. Oh, praise God. Go ahead. Go ahead and respond to the Spirit of the Lord. God, I'm waking up. I hear the alarm. I hear the alarm. I hear the alarm. I've got to
have the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be lost, God. Thank you for sending a preacher. Thank you, God. I want victory in my life. I want to see God work in my home. I want to see God work in my family.
Mighty God, mighty God.